Repent ye therefore, Elder Clifford E. Young, Clifford E. Young, Conference Report, October 1956, pages 8-10. My brethren and sisters, I am sure you can appreciate my feelings in occupying this position following the impressive address to which we have just listened. I trust that what I shall say may add to your faith. You will remember that following the crucifixion of the Savior and His resurrection, He tarried with His disciples for some 40 days, giving them instructions and administering to them the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Then He assured them that as He left them, He would again come in like manner to bless the children of men. He enjoined upon the 12 that they should tarry in Jerusalem until they could be endowed with power from on high. Then they were to go forth and to proclaim the gospel, His gospel, to all nations, a message of eternal life. So, following these events, we find the people gathered with one accord on the day of Pentecost, and Peter, feeling this great power that had been promised, declared to the multitude Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are told that they were pricked in their hearts, impressed by the Spirit, and they cried with one accord, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter taught them the basic principles of the gospel, that they should repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and he promised them that they, too, would have the blessings of the Holy Ghost which had rested upon him and others of the 12. Later, we find Peter and John going up to the temple. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us," and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth rise up and walk," and he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping, and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When the fame of this miracle spread, people gathered from near and far to listen to the message, as they had on the day of Pentecost. Among these people were some who doubtless had participated in the crucifixion of Jesus. They had not realized what they had done. Then Peter, preaching to them, said, "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things, which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." There are three things, my brethren and sisters, that I would like to touch on in connection with these scriptures which I have read. Time will not permit my enlarging on them. The first one, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Then the power of God was manifested, and he was healed not by silver and gold, not by something tangible, but an inward power to the afflicted, a power as real and more potent than had he received silver and gold. It is something that stimulates our souls and builds our faith, prompts us to live nearer our Heavenly Father and more fully to keep His commandments. As we listened to President McKay, I had a feeling that if we could leave this conference with the inspiration and mellowing influence of the President's message, we would have an influence for good wherever we go and with those with whom we come in contact, and our communities would reap a blessing thereby. It is very much like the feelings and emotions that are stirred within us when we attend a funeral service. Our hearts are drawn in love and sympathy, and we leave feeling that if there is anything we can do to bring comfort to an aching heart, we will do it. I have wondered many times if the Lord has not given us trials, even death, in order that our hearts might be touched, that we might feel something that is greater than silver and gold. So it is here this morning. We have heard President McKay quote this verse which I would like to give on this occasion. It is so appropriate. If there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. One step after another leads to a life of peace. How much better the world could be and would be if we could be conscious of the spiritual forces, inspiring such attributes as love and devotion, Another phase I would like to mention here, Peter said to the people who were gathered, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, repent ye therefore, and be converted. Here we have Peter, who was raised under the Mosaic law with its strict codes, and yet the Spirit promised by the Savior had rested upon him, and here he manifested sympathy toward even those who had participated in the crucifixion of the Savior, because they knew not what they had done. He was teaching the lesson that Jesus had taught while on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. So Peter said, I know that what ye did in ignorance, therefore, repent. What a blessed privilege, and what a source of consolation it is, to know that it is in our knowledge of things for which we are held responsible. The Lord recognizes that His children are not always aware of the things required of them, and hence His compassion and love are extended to His children. The great principle of repentance is vouchsafed to them, that they may turn from error and evil and return to God and feel the power of these blessings that come through faithfulness and devotion to His work when once His work is understood by His children. So we have in this a message of hope. Finally, as Peter said, repent and be converted. We need conversion in our homes. We need to correct some of the practices of fault-finding, of misconstruing motives. Now we are in the throes of a political campaign. Whatever we do, brethren and sisters, let us not impugn the motives of our brethren because they do not agree with us, and may they not question our motives. Let us recognize principle. We may disagree with our neighbors as to policy or methods, but let us not question the integrity of anyone. This leads to bearing a false witness. It leads to enmity and the cankering of one's soul. I think much of the unhappiness found in homes is due to fault-finding and question of motives. We need to cultivate the spirit of understanding and forbearance. We can have this spirit if we kneel together in prayer and if we show a sympathetic interest in one another's problems, in the problems of our children, be interested in them and in their well-being. I was impressed recently in going into the home of one of our stake presidents in Logan. He and his wife have two lovely boys. One of them was going out on a scout trip during the week to win a merit badge. Do you know that good mother of the boy who was only 12 years old was taking her sleeping bag and going to camp out with him under the stars to give him guidance and help? Knowing that in his extreme youth he needed that guidance, as I learned of this, I thought, what an ideal mother, what a lovely spirit to have in a home. That is what we need. We need to be converted to some of the old concepts and to carry them out in our lives. Then we will have righteousness in our hearts. We will have joy and peace in the world because of the blessings given unto us by our Heavenly Father through His Divine Spirit, blessings that were given to the disciples on the day of Pentecost, that they might proclaim the truth. May we not only be able to proclaim the truth in word, but also in deed. May we be able to take from this meeting the spirit of this solemn occasion with its impressiveness into our homes, our wards and stakes, and, above all, into our lives. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.